Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. We're up to. I still want to go over that pasuk one more time. I just have one or two more points to make. Is this working? Perik Tess. Give me one second. Perik Tess pasuk Vav. We're up to Perik Tess pasuk Vav. We spent a lot of time on this pasuk yesterday. Okay, and so I want to go over. Just one or two more small points. Let's read the pasuk. Back to Fruchta, the Shloshim is past. And Sham Shlavin Aliyah. What was the Shloshim? Yesterday? A long time ago? A few weeks? The Shloshim? No. The Shloshim was
January 1st.
Wow. Okay.
Time flies.
Wow. Okay, so up to Perik Tes Pasik Vav Zaken Bachur Besula V'Tafin Hashem Targu L'Mashchis. It says here that these Mashchis, in which we understood until now, simply is referring to the 6/7 Mashchisim. There were six men that were had in their hands the Kli Mapotzel, the sledgehammer in their hands, and they were dispatched to destroy Yerushalayim. And then there was a seventh person, the Ish Lavush Badim, which refers to the Malach Gavriel, and he had on his loins the Keses HaSofer, and he was instructed to mark the letter Tav on the Tzadikim who would be spared. So who are these six Mashchisim going out to destroy? So it says the Zokain, the Bachur, the Besula, Tafin Hashem, Tahargu, Lemashchis, they shall destroy, complete destruction. Tahargu, they bring death in order to bring destruction. V'al Kolish HaSha'olav HaTav, and on all the people upon whom the letter Tav is written, Al Tigashu, do not go near, Umimikdoshi Tochelu, and you shall begin with the people in the Beis HaMikdash, as we discussed yesterday. Then the rather long Rashi, don't read it, Mimikdoshi Ella Umimikudoshai, that was the discussion yesterday. And then the pasuk begins to say, Vayochelu bo anoshim hazikinim asher lifnei habayis. And we learned yesterday the Jewish that the Malachim Hashem changed his mind, and Hashem says, "No, I changed. I want you to kill the tzaddikim as well, because they did not lodge a protest for the sins that were taking place." Okay, now over here it mentions if you count the number of people, there's a Zokain is one, a Bachur is two, Besula is three, Taf is four, Nashim is five. So there are five. So we actually mentioned this last week. We mentioned this last week, that these the Medrash seems to indicate that there were only five is a contradiction. It says in the pasuk explicitly there were six people, there were six mashchisim, but yet the Medrash assumes that each of the mashchisim were assigned to a particular group. So one mashchis was assigned to the Zokain, the other was assigned to the Bachur, the other was assigned to the Besula, the next was assigned to the Taf, and the fifth was assigned to the Noshim. Okay, now if that's the case, then what did the sixth mashchis do? Okay, since we're only listing here, okay, maybe we ask them to be quiet. Shh.
Zayin Shah.
Since there are only five groups that are being targeted, that seems to indicate there are only five mashchisim, because each mashchis was given a specific group. So this was the question that we learned last week, and the Medrash came along to answer. Ein hachinami. According to one interpretation, which is not the common interpretation, that the Ish Lavush Badim Asher Bimosnov, the Keses HaSofer, was the sixth. So the truth is, there were only five Mashchitzim, and the sixth was the man that was Lavush Badim, Gavriel, who was not the person who actually did the destroying, but he instead had on him the Keses HaSofer. Now, what was the difficulty? What was the difficulty with that interpretation? Difficulty was that if Daniel is considered to be, the Gavriel is considered to be the sixth Ishmashchis, but where then is his Mapotso? because it says in the pasuk, each one of these six men had in their hands a sledgehammer, had a weapon, had a destructive weapon. If there are only five people that are doing the destroying, and the sixth one, Gavriel, is doing the writing, he's writing with his pen upon the forehead of the tzaddikim, Tichy, you're going to live. So we're missing a person, the person that has in their hand a sledgehammer, a tool of destruction. And the answer we gave then was that no, enochinami, the pen is mightier than the sword. In truth, there are only a grand total of six mashchisim, six people, five people that are going to do the killing, and there's one of them that's not going to, that has a pen in their hand, and he, and that's his ishma potso, and it fits very well according to the Chazal that he wrote not just tichyeh on the foreheads of the tzaddikim, but also wrote tomos on the forehead of the rishoyim. Therefore, the ultimate kli mapatzo, the ultimate instrument of destruction, is a pen, is a quill. Writing.
Special ops take care of
you. Exactly. When you sign, and you sign off on something. This was the interpretation we gave last week. Now the truth is, I don't know why it's such a question, because if you notice here, the only one that's written B'loshan Rabim is Noshim. So you can suggest that there are two groups of women. You can say there are six Mashchisim, and there are six groups. There is Zokein, Bachur, Besula, Taf, Noshim, category 1, Noshim, category 2. Now, you'll ask me, what's the difference between category 1 and category number 2? I don't know. You have to be creative. Yeah, we don't know what the story is, but you can't deny the fact that it says here, Noshim B'loshayim Rabim. And in fact, there's another Medrash. The article quotes this Medrash. Not, I didn't see this in my safe all the Medrashim, but the article quotes this Medrash. And it says that even though Radak and the Mitzudos and Rashi quoted who are the Mashchisim, so he gave the names, Af, Chema, Ketzef. We gave the names, we gave actual names of these angels in Shemayim, which have these destructive names. But the Medrash says, the Malachim, what do they look like? The Malach of Af look like a Zokain. The Malach of Ketzef look like a Bachur. The Malach of Hashchasa look like a Besula. This is what they would look to us. In other words, these were the malachim, but over here, this pasuk coming to describe what they look like to a human being, and the reason that's why it says noshim b'loshon rabim. The last two of the mashchitzim had the tzura, had the image of an isha, and that's why there's a grand total really here of six malachim who were disguised as six different individuals. They were now dispatched to proceed and destroy Yerushalayim and kill these six groups of people. It doesn't say this, these six groups of people, but they look like these six individuals. Okay, that is one point. Now, another last point I want to make over here is what? Say again.
Taf,
right? Exactly. They're not.
No, Taf is not.
Taf, but it doesn't say. He's saying it's a casual phrase. It's one word which means. It's a collective noun, right? Taf we means the children, but literally taf is singular. It's singular, which we use to refer to Ram. But noshim is a word. The yud mem makes the word different. It's a different category of a word. You'd say isha. And here it says noshim.
Isn't it just singular?
Like in the Megillah.
What?
It doesn't change it. Singular or plural?
Isha is singular. Noshim is always plural. Taf. Can you refer to a single child as a taf? Yes. If you have a single child, can you say this is a taf? Yes. Can you say about a kindergarten, 50 children there? Yes, taf. So the word taf can be used both ways. But the word noshim can only be used in the plural. Therefore, it's different than all the other words in this pasuk, which can be used literally in the singular form. Okay, so this is something to keep in mind. We have six mashchisim. Are there six mashchisim or are there seven mashchisim? Yeah. Are there six mashchisim plus Gavriel, the Ish, Levush, Badim? Or are there a grand total of six mashchisim, five soldiers, five warriors, and the sixth is Gavriel, who is Levush, Badim, is counted among those six.
Well, he's the head.
The head. So So that's the question. Is that that's the question? Because the pasuk says six, and then it seems to say lufi pshuta shel mikra. That's how really Rashi the Mitzudos says there are six plus one, the Gavriel, the Ish Levush Badim. But the Drush, but the Medrash does seem to say that there's a possible interpretation that there was a grand total of six, and Gavriel, Ish Levush Badim, was number six of this group, which means there are only five that are actually doing the killing, and those five are alluded to here in this pasuk because there are only five categories, Zakein, Bachor, Besula, Taf, Vinashim. The only five categories. Each malach was assigned one of these groups. If you do want to say that, and that's why there's five. And then Daniel, the Gavriel, is going to be number six, and he's there to save the tzaddikim if there were any. And if you want to say there were really six mashchisim, then you have to say that when it says noshim, noshim is b'loshin rabim, there were two groups of women. There were two groups of women. Or it means, what?
Gabriel was also dressed like
an Isha? Why do you say that? Ish Levush Badim. Okay, there's another medish. Okay, let's go to another point. There's another medish that says the reason why the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur a tunic of bat, of linen, the four garments of linen, is because everything that happens on this world corresponds to what is taking place in Shemayim. And since in Shemayim there is this malach of Gavriel, who is called the Ish Lavush Badim, his correspondent, his parallel, his match on this
counterpart
on this world is the Kohen Gadol, who is also the Ish Lavush Badim. But whereas Gavriel is a Malach of Ish, which means Din, the counterpart, his counterpart, the Kohen Gadol, is a man of Rachamim. Aaron is an Oyev Shalom, the Roidev Shalom, the Kohen Gadol is the counterpart which brings peace to Klal Yisrael. Whereas the Gavriel is fire, and the fire is being, he sends fire down to this world. The Kohen Gadol, he brings Ketores, he brings the smoke, the Reich Nichoyach, from the fire upwards to Shemayim as a Nachas Ruach to Hashem. So the Kohen Gadol is the counterpart to Gavriel, who is described as the Ish Lovush Badim. Okay, there's one more point I want to make, and we see, you think about this every Mitzvah Shabbos here, it says over here, Mimikdoshi Tochelu, from my Mikdoshi you shall begin. Now, this is just going back to Rashi, there's another Medrash which elaborates a little bit more on what we learned in Rashi yesterday. Rashi told us, the simple meaning of the words are, Hashem told the Mashchisim, I want you to start the killing inside the Beis HaMikdash. Don't make a mistake and think you should go to the gates of the city, the perimeter of the city, and work your way inward. I want you to start in the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the holiest part of the city, and begin the killing there, and work your way outward. That is the symbol, so Mimikdashi, in my holy place, in the Beis HaMikdash, Tochelu, you shall begin. Now, Rashi says, but that's not what happened. What happened was, the Midas didn't complain to Hashem, why are you sparing the Tzaddikim? Why did you tell Gavriel to write the letter Tov on the forehead of the Tzaddikim to indicate that they should be spared Tichya? It's not fair. They should have complained. They should have protested against what was taking place in Yerushalayim. So we learned this yesterday. Hashem said to the Midas Adin, Golui v'yodu lefonai, that if they would have lodged a protest, it would not have made one bit of a difference. Therefore, they're not held accountable for being quiet. The Midas Hadin said, Hashem, maybe it's Golui v'yodu lefonecha, but it was not Golui v'yodu to them. They did not know that their words would not be listened to. So therefore, they are still accountable for not protesting. So Hashem said, You're right. I changed my mind. Kill everyone. And don't read it umimikdoshi inside my Beis HaMikdash. Change the vowels. Umimikudoshai tochelu. Begin the killing with the holy ones, with the tzaddikim. Now I saw in a medrash, it adds to the equation the word tochelu. The word tochelu, the way we read it, according to Rashi, both interpretations, means begin. But you can also vowelize the word tochelu with a chirik instead of a tsere, tochilu. Tochilu means be afraid. Means fear. Fear. Chel means fear. Chel ura'ada. Therefore, in their first version it was, umimikdashi In other words, we can read it originally, but here's the drush. The drush is, you don't read the pasuk umi mikdashi, but read it even originally, umi mikudoshai, my holy ones, tochilu, you should be afraid of. Hashem told the malach of the mashritzim, when you come to a tzaddik gomor, a person who is part of my team, the mikudoshi, be afraid of him. Don't go near him, do not kill him. But after the Midas Hadin protest and Hashem acquiesced to the Midas Hadin, Hashem changed the word tochilu to tochelu, to begin. From don't be afraid of the tzaddikim, but instead start with the tzaddikim.
So
the killing...
That's the trigger for the statement in the Medrash?
Oh, there are two different Midrashim. One Medrash focuses on the word...
One where
mimikdashi, we change the word mikdashi, and the other medrash focus on the word tochelu. What's the trigger? What is the variable which changes back and forth? Rashi told us the main variable is the word umi mikdashi. We change mikdashi to mikudashai. And according to this other medrash, the word is always consistently mikudashai, my holy ones, even though that's not our Messiah, and the change is tochelu versus tochelu. You should be afraid of the tzaddikim, do not kill them. Verse, no, I want you to start with them. They're guilty for not protesting the averos that are taking place in Yerushalayim. About what?
There's a drush, but tzachelu has a tzeria.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Take one of the dots from the tzeria, put it under
So you take that dot there. Okay, it's a nice little drush. The dots. That sounds like it's a good drush, right? It's a good Messiah. Very good. Okay, I like it. Okay, by the way, I just want to point out over here. I think that Mitzvah Shabbos, when you say Atochanantanu, you mispal for Yerushalayim. Avinu Malkeinu, Hochel Oleinu, Hayomim Haboim Likrosenu, Chasuchim Mikol Chet, Umenukim Mikol Avon. Three separate bakoshes for Yerushalayim. And what's the word that Chazal use? Hochel. What does Hochel mean? Begin. Avinu Malkeinu, Hochel Aleinu. May it begin upon us the days that are coming forward, that they should be days of Yerushalayim. It's interesting that word Hochel, even though it means literally to begin, it's also merames on fear. Because Hochel, just like this Medrash is telling us, that the word Tochelu can be interchanged. If you read it with a Tzere, it's begin. But if you put a dot, Chil, it means fear. Tochelu. So too, it's not a coincidence that Chazal chose the word Avinu Malkeinu, Hochel Oleinu Hayomim Haboim. They're alluding that the days that are coming forward should be filled with fear, with chil, with fear of Hashem, so that we should be chasuchim mikol chet, umenukim mikol avon, umedubakim b'yirasecha. There are many words that you can use for the beginning, that should start. Bereshis, there's rishon, there are other words. The fact that Chazal chose the word hochel aleinu is not a coincidence, because the word hochel also alludes to fear, which is the theme of that expression in the brach of Atochonantanu. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin says, "Vayoymer aleihem." Hashem said to them, to who? To the Mashchisim, to the six angels. Tamu, I want you to contaminate as Habayis. I want you to contaminate the Beis Hamikdash. How? By bringing death. When a person dies, their bodies are tamei tumas meis. Umalu es hachatzeros chalolim, and I want you to fill up the courtyards of dead bodies. Tseyu, go out. I'm giving you the command. I'm dispatching you. I'm giving you the executive order to go forth. V'yotsu, the pasuk concludes, they followed orders. V'hiku vo'ir, and they smote among the people. Now, tzaddikim. Over here we're dealing over here with tzaddikim gemurim. These are the people, according to the Medrash, upon whom Gavriel wrote, who inscribed the letter Tav Tichya. And the only chait that they had was not a real chait. It was they did not make a macha. They did not protest the sins that were taking place. There's a very big controversy. Are tzaddikim, are kohanim allowed to go to kivrei tzaddikim? There's a very big controversy. Okay, so halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, 99% of the poskim that I know of hold no. No. And there's no excuse for a kohen to go to the kivrei of Rashbi. You can't go to the Meiron if you're a kohen. If you're a Kohen, what are you doing going to Meiron? It's all, they're all mason there. You're not allowed to go there. Yet there are people, I don't know, there are people that say that kivrei tzadikim are not mitame. And they go. They go to kohanim and they go because there are certain tzadikim are on a level that are very high level, and kivrei tzadikim are not mitame. It's a pella, but I'm telling you, study the sources, you'll find, you'll look around, you'll hear such things. I find it very interesting that here, the psukim are telling us, the Chazal, the psukim are referring specifically to the tzaddikim. I mean, they were dealing with mimikdoshi tochelu, which means mikudoshai, people upon whom the Torah is testifying, they are tzaddikim gemurim. There was a tevia, there was a complaint against them that they did not make a macha, but that is not in the category of a sin. At least it's not a concrete sin.
An active sin.
It's not a sin that you can hold that you can say that to take away from their righteousness, and yet it's clear as day. It says tamu. When they die, there is tumah. There is tumah, and the whole bias, the base hamidah, is contaminated with their death. And furthermore, malu es chatz. So this is just a point we want to make: is that this idea of that the means that tzaddikim are not mitame is a very big chiddush. It's a very weak svara why there are poskim. I don't know. I'm not coming to question anyone, but why there can be such a thing where people, kohanim, are allowed to go to kivrei tzaddikim. Also, let's see the mitzvot of the pasuk zayin. The pasuk says, "Tam wasabayis ko'imer." This means to say, "Al tochushu l'tumas beis hamikdash." Hashem over here is telling. There's another very interesting thing that there's a chiyuv. I think it's a chiyuv mitzvah de shemayim to bring tumah into the beis hamikdash. You're not allowed to contaminate the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem over here is telling the Malachim to violate what it says in the Torah. There's a pasuk somewhere in the Torah that it's forbidden for a man to be metame the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is telling them, don't worry about it. I'm giving you Hayro HaShah. I'm telling you to bring death to the people in the Beis HaMikdash, and by doing so, there's going to be tumah. Al tochoshu, do not be concerned with tumas Beis HaMikdash, umilu achatzeros Beis HaMikdash min hachalolim. I want you to bring death and to fill up the Beis HaMikdash with the dead bodies. The achar zet seu v'hiku v'ir, and afterwards, I want you to go out into the city, and I want you to kill them among people in the city itself. So, if you take a look at the mitzvos, it's very important. He says the word seu is a separate command. After the first command of killing in the Beis HaMikdash itself, seu is now a separate command to do killing in the city. Vayetsu.
Why isn't it? I don't see anybody
mentioning it. Why doesn't it say Tzu? Maybe we'll see the Radak say anything about Tzu. Okay, I don't know. I do not know. Vayetsu, the pasuk says that the Yatsu, they went out. Acha shehiku b'hachatzeros, Yatsu hiku b'ir. So it says they went out and they fulfilled Hashem's request. Let's see Rashi. There is no Rashi on this pasuk. Radak, pasuk Zayin v'yim aleim tamuz habayis. Al tochoshu im tahargu beis hamikdash, v'tetamu es habayis bechalolim. Do not be concerned for the fact that you're going to increase contamination in the beis hamikdash, which is a grave sin. Kihem timuhu rishonda begilulim, because they already contaminated it. Isn't that interesting? Radak is adding that the beis hamikdash is already contaminated. There's a whole sugi shas afushe tumah. If you're already tameh, are you allowed to be metame yourself even more? And the answer is, of your koi, the bizman is that all koihanim are tamei meis. Everyone. There's no person today alive that's not tamei meis. That's what I understand, right? So if a koin already is tamei meis, why can a koin go into a cemetery? He's already tamei. So
he's tamei, but who said he's already tamei meis? That's the assumption.
Let's say he is.
Marasai.
Let's say the koin is mamish tamei. Let's say the koin came in contact with a dead body. For 100%. Is why can he go to the cemetery? I'm already telling
people don't know. It's not a sign.
People don't know. So let's say you put it, we have a sign.
I'm Tommy.
Okay? You'll have a sign, or you'll do it privately. So whatever. So why? So the Gemara says this. The Gemara says no. Afushe tumo loyim nifashinan. You're not allowed to add more tumo. Every time you come in contact with the mace, there's a new dimension of tumo, which we don't know how this thing works. Okay? There's more and more tumo. Just because you're tummy doesn't mean you should.
Not what it means. It's not what Michael said. Maybe they're not tummy mace. You know, if you avoid a kever, you're not tummy mace. You just.
Okay, so let's.
Michael said.
So you think a kohen getaway is whole after tummy mace?
Well,
possible. So let me assume, in this specific case, if you have a kohen that you know for sure is tama, he did make contact with the dead body.
He's still not allowed.
He's a doctor. He's still not allowed to. So the Gemara is like, why not? The answer is because the Gemara has a principle, and it's based upon the Chazal, a Makar, that you're not allowed to add more tama where to yourself. So therefore, kohanim are not allowed to be metame themselves, even though they are already tame. Here, the Radak says,
if you have a flu on Elal, good chance you come and mix.
Let a fly Elal if you're coming?
No.
If you don't know, don't ask, don't tell. Flying on Elal is, as long as you don't know, you're allowed to fly.
They put it
in a box within a box. Yeah. They put it within a special box. And no, sugar's not going to help them. See, it has to be a special cardboard container that's not part of the coffin. That's not the yuchah for the coffin in order to contain the tumor within the tefach. So that's why they put it in these special crates.
Containers
for mason.
Where they fly over.
That's another issue. That's another issue where they fly over. They fly over cemeteries. Okay. What?
Anytime you're on a plane, that's an issue.
That's an issue, correct. So there used to be the flight plan of El Al and Eretz Yisrael used to fly directly over Beis HaKvaris, and they complained, and you always hear this in the news, and they changed the flight plan. But Rachman al-Tzlan, if there's a war, if there's something going on in Eretz Yisrael, then they have no choice but to change their flight plan in order to avoid areas where there's danger. And when that happens, they don't take into consideration the fact that there's a cemetery in that area. Because that is a separate issue. But over here, I just want to point out over here is we have a halacha that just because you're Tami does not mean you're allowed to continue being Mitami yourself. For every additional tumma, you bring upon yourself more and more tumma. I heard not so long ago, just a related idea, Rabbi Brecher. He was a very close Talmud, Rabbi Brecher, the famous Mordechai Brecher. So he was very, very close with Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So I remember once he's made an impression upon me, and he was with him in a taxi. Rabbi Brecher was with Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in a taxi, and the taxi driver had a sandwich, and the taxi driver was about to eat the sandwich. So Rabbi Shapiro said to him, imitated him very well, as only he can do. In Hebrew, without a bracha? Without covering your head, without putting on a yarmulke, without a bracha? So the taxi driver said to him, Rabbi. No, it wasn't a guy, it was a Jew. The taxi driver said to him, Rabbi, if only you knew the averos that I do, averos chamuros that I do, this is nothing. To go eat without a yarmulke, without a bracha, without a tilas yadayim is nothing. So he got very upset, Arishman. He said to him, you're going to have to give in Shemayim din v'cheshbon on every single avera you did. Okay, you're telling me you do big time averas, major league averas. That's not going to save you from eating bread without washing metilas yodayim and without covering your head for the bracha and without making a birchas hamotzi. One thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other. You can go later in the day and do who knows what, Gili Araya, Shvichas Tamim, Avodah Zarah, but you're going to be judged severely for the fact that you did not make a Birchas Hamotzi and wash the Tilas Yodayim for this piece of bread that you're about to eat. And it made an impression on the taxi driver. And it made an impression upon me. It's a very interesting concept, is that in Achanami, we all have our weaknesses. Maybe when it comes to Lashon Hara, when it comes to this, you name it. Everyone has some time when they just can't control themselves and they know they're out of control. It's not an excuse when it comes to simple little things, which we think are nothing, are totally trivial, not to be nizer. Therefore, over here, just because a person is Tamei Mace, Just because a person is Tamei Meis does not mean he's allowed to go into the cemetery and walk around. He has to get out of the cemetery ASAP. Yet here, it is interesting that in this Radak, he's not saying it. He's saying over here that Hashem says to the Malachim, I'm telling you to violate an Isser De'oraisa, an Isser Chomor De'oraisa, to bring death to people in the Beis HaMikdash, to increase the degree of Tumah. Every dead body is Tumas Meis in the Beis HaMikdash. You'll ask the Malachim, and the Malach, how can Hashem you tell us to do an Avera? The Beis HaMikdash is already Tameh. The Beis HaMikdash is full of Avodah Zarah. So what's the big deal? There's already Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So by taking the lives of these people, you're not adding any more Tumah to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a very controversial Psak Halacha from the Ribbon Shalala. Because the Gemara says, just because there's one form of Tumah, does not mean you're allowed to add other forms of Tumah.
One is not a person, and the Beis
HaMikdash. Okay, it's figurative. Okay, it's figurative.
In that sense, the Beis
HaMikdash
has had
it. I know, just extrapolating, we're just being befalpal over here, but making this point. Ki heim timuhu rishayna bigilulim. It's already Tameh, so you're not adding any more Tumah than there already is here in this Beis HaMikdash. Or we mean more Mida Keneged Mida. They contaminated it, therefore they deserve to have it contaminated even more. Okay, the next words are Milu. Tzivui Mibinyan Hadagush. The word Umilu is a command. Umalu, sorry, Umalu, it's a command. I want you to fill up. Afal pi shahalamid einena degusha. The lamid does not have a dat. I don't know anything what this means. Okay, if it will be a tzivoy l'chayra the dalit shav a dat, kiyimsa kamo kalim mibinyan hadagush. There are other examples where you have commands and the syllable that has the shva does not get a dat. Kamo uvakshu virchoy voisecha, seek out a command. Kiloy milu acharoy, they did not follow after me. Vayikan uvo v'hadaimim lohem. I'm not familiar with these examples, what he's trying to prove, but he just means over here it's a command, even though it may appear to violate the basic rules of grammar. Es hachatzeros, the courtyards, chatzeros beis hamikdash, ezras anoshim, the ezras noshim, the harabais, ki kulum hoyu chatzeros, the entire area of the beis hamikdash, the harabais, the azara, all these courtyards should be contaminated with dead bodies. Now we go to pasuk ches. Pasuk ches says, "Vayehi ki hakoisam." It was when the six angels proceeded to kill the people in the beis hamikdash and in the city. V'nei sha'ar oni, I was left alone.
Why the extra?
Aleph, I do not know. I don't know. It's an unusual form of the word. You're right. I don't know. V'nei sha'ar oni. Yirmiyah says, I was all alone. This is the worst thing. To be alone is the worst. To be alone. V'eplo al ponai. I fell on my face. V'ezak, I cried out. V'aymar, and I said, aha, whoa. Hashem Elokim, Hamashchis Ata Yisrael, Eis Kol She'eris Yisrael. Are you going to destroy the remnant of the Jewish people? B'shaf Kicha Eschamosicha Al Yerushalayim. When you pour out your anger on Yerushalayim, are you really going to do this, Hashem? How in the world can you do such a thing? Okay, now let's see over here the mitzvah of Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches over here says V'nei Sha'ar Oni. I was left alone. Lo nishar ki imani. I was the only survivor. Ki l'rosham simen af al echad. So here he's quoting Maamar Chazal. This is very, very strange. That when the Malach Gavriel went to look for people upon whom he can write the letter Tov Tichye, he could not find even one. There was not even one person. Ki lo imotzat tzadik. Now that's, of course, according to the interpretation that says that those that did get the letter Tzad, the Tov, were spared. The second interpretation is that no, they were tzaddikim, but this goes back to what we learned yesterday. Hashem changed his mind. Even the tzaddikim were accountable because they did not make a macha, complain against the sins that people were doing. Hamashchis ki sashchis es kulam be'ez tishpoich chamoscha al Yerushalayim. I see that you're wiping out every last person when you are pouring out your anger on Yerushalayim. Ches and Rashi, v'nei sha'ar oni, v'nish'arti oni. I am all alone. I am all alone. This is the most painful thing in this world, is to be alone. Lo'itoiv heyois odom levado. It's not good to be alone. And here, Yecheskel is saying, I'm all alone. All of the tzaddikim, all of the people who I can be with, I can talk to, are gone. And that, for him, is the most painful thing. That's why, Ezak.
This is all happening at the same time.
This happening six and a half years before the Churban. This is a vision. This is taking place 6.5 years before the Churban. Everywhere, if you go to Yerushalayim at this moment in time, everyone is happy and peaceful, and everything is wonderful, and the economy is booming, and everything is one. But Hashem is saying that the cracks are there, and this is what is going to happen in 6.5 years from now. It's a vision on the future. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Ches says Vayhi Ki HaKoisam B'Chof. Now it's an unusual form. What's Ki HaKoisam? It should say Bi HaKoisam B'Chof. Ki HaKoisam B'Chatzeros Ki Shom Hoya Hanavi B'Mara. That's what it means. That's where he was in vision. The Navi Hashem took Yecheskel from Bavel, and in this vision he transplanted him in the Beis Hamikdash, and he was watching what's taking place. V'nei Sha'ar Ani Nish'arti Ani B'Nehem Shelo Hikuni. I was the only one that was not killed. This comes to answer your question, Mr. Glatter, is that we have over here the Nish'ar has an Aleph, it's the past tense. Umin Eshar Shuhu Eson Min Hakal, I don't know what that means, some grammatical form. The Tam Harkava, we are taking these two words of Nish'ar and Eshar. Omar, the reason why we merge these two words, Omar kishahoyu makim nasati eni mi nishar, when the mashchitzim killed the people, I paid attention, mi nishar bechatzero shalo hiku, v'ru'isi, and I saw kilo nishar el oni, v'zehu v'nishar, v'omar shnei tamim b'milo, echon likotzer, v'hu al derech tzachos, k'mo shekirash b'milas mishtachavisem, uvol, there were two words, Hashchasa and Nishtachava, Uvol Lehodia ki Lohoya Bechatzeres Beis Hashem ki Mi Shohoya Olav Hatov Elohu Levado. The only one of this is a little bit different than we learned before. Over here, he's telling us over here, this is not what the Sudos we learned before, that there was one person that did get the letter Tov, and that was Yecheskel. Because Yecheskel was the one who was a Tzadik Gomor, and also he did make a macha, he did protest. And that's why he indeed got the tov on his forehead, and he indeed did survive. For Ezak, I cried, "Vayimar al Yerushalayim ki hi hoisa she'eris kol Yisrael." It's the remnant. Ki kol Yisrael golu zulasi Yerushalayim v'kvar mesu barav ibechev ibegolus. So here, the only survivor is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, we're giving it human characteristics. It's the only survivor together with Yecheskel. Okay, let's go to. Now there is a medrash. The medrash over here says, "Aha Hashem Elokim." We all know that whenever you have in Tanakh Aleph, two names of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, followed by Yud Kei Vav Kei, the pronunciation is Hashem Elokim. We don't pronounce it Hashem Hashem. We pronounce it Hashem Elokim. Right. So if this would be the Haftarah, you would say, you say Hashem Elokim. So why over here are we alluding to Hashem Elokim? So the answer the Medrash gives is that Yecheskel said to Hashem, it's not fair, zelo fair. Even the Midas Hadin would agree that you've gone too far. It's an amazing Medrash. Normally, when Rachman Litzlan is a tzara, so we say, Tzadik Hashem, b'chol derachav, Tzidik Hadin. The Midas Hadin is right. No one can survive Midas Hadin. We mevakesh midas rachamim. According to, there's no limit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. So we have pain. That why were we not zoicha to midas rachamim to be spared from this tzara? We were not, and therefore there's nothing for us to complain about, because according to the letter of the law, according to midas hadin, we are deserving. Whatever happens, we are deserving. That's what tzidik hadin is all about. We were not worthy of midas rachamim, and therefore we fell back on midas hadin, and therefore tzadik Hashem behold rachav. Here Yecheskel is saying that even the midas hadin is complaining. It's not fair. V'oimar Hashem Elokim, aha Hashem Elokim. Even midas hadin is maskim that hamashchis ata eis kol she'eris Yisrael b'shof kicha es hamos v'al Yerushalayim. That far, this is what it says in the Medrash. And indeed, now you have to remember, this was a vision. This was a vision. And this vision was shown to Yecheskel 6.5 years in advance in order for him to get to work. And getting to work means he should try to influence the people to do tshuva, and he himself, which should be mispalel, that Hashem should have charata should step back from the pure midas adin and allow some people to survive, which he did.
He was in Babel,
but he was in Babel, no, but he was no, he no. was mis- he, it's not he could be he went back and forth. What?
He
could be he did go back. I don't know. Maybe he did go back at some intervals. He went back where he sent messages. He sent maybe letters, or maybe he himself was misfalo. Where he was, he was misfalo, and he had the people with him in Bavel also be misfalo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should spare Yerushalayim and spare tzaddikim, which indeed it worked. Because we're going to the next parak, that there are many different elements, many different things happened at the time of the Korban, where Hashem indeed cooled the fire. Hashem did not pour out his entire wrath upon the people. There was a degree of rachamim in the Korban, which allowed Klal Yisrael to survive, to live another day. And seemingly this was all because Hashem showed this vision to Yechezkel 6.5 years in advance, which gave him the opportunity to get to work, to do something to save Klal Yisrael. Let's see the pasuk in the Mitzvot of Pasuk Ches. V'nishahar, we did that. Pasuk Tes. Next pasuk. Pasuk Tes says, Hashem responds. Hashem, Vayomilai, Hashem said to me, Avoin Beis Yisrael, Yehuda Godol, Bimod Maod. Hashem says, I have no choice. The sins of Yehuda and Yisrael, Yehuda are very, very great. Vati Mole Aretz Damim. The earth is filled with blood. V'choir Mola Muteh. Muteh means injustice. Corruption. They tilt the scales in the wrong way. When there should be mishpat, they push the scales down, muteh, injustice, ki amru, and then there's a third sin. The third sin is people think that Hashem does not see. Ki amru, they say, azav Hashem es aris, Hashem has abandoned the earth, the ein Hashem ro'eh, Hashem does not see what's going on. So here we have over here, really, you say 3/4 different sins for which Hashem is complaining at really more. Bim'oid ma'oid, that's number one. Vati moleretz damim is two. The ear is mola muteh, injustice. That's three. Ki amu, they say, azav Hashem es aretz. That's four. And then the ein Hashem ro'eh, Hashem does not see. Hashem does not see what's going on. Five different categories of sin are being expressed here in this pasuk. Now the word b'mo'id, mo'id is very interesting. Let's first see the mitzudos. And then there's some very interesting this pasuk. Pasuk test in the mitzudos, pasuk test. Beis Yisrael, Heim Hanesharim Biartsam Achagolus Malchus Ephraim Vinitlu Lamalchus Yudah. The question the Mitzvah is asking is, what are you talking about? The sins of Yisrael are great. There is no Yisrael. The Aseres Hashvatim have gone into exile long, long ago. And the answer is, that's not true. They went into Golus, but there were some remnants, there were some survivors who joined Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. And Chazal even tells us today, even if according to the Mandem that says the Aseres Hashvatim will not return in time of Mashiach, but mingled among us are descendants of the Aseres Hashvatim. Yonah, who's sitting here in this room, someone in this room maybe from Shevet Gad, someone in this room maybe from Shevet Zevulun. Anyone know who they come from? You don't really know where you come from. There is a tradition that the Jews who settled in France and Germany came from Shevet Binyamin, and the Jews who settled in Spain, they came from Shevet Yehuda. Okay, but mingled, Dr. Fuchter, please. It's hard to compete. Mingled among us, we have remnants of the Aseres Hashvatim. Hey, man, Nishadim, the Aretzam. Next word, Damim, Anshei Shechet. Then the people are murderers. Mute, Hatoyas, Mishpat, injustice. Ozav Hashem, Hashem has abandoned the earth. Biad Mareches Hashemayim, the constellations, Mazel. Ra'am Manas, Sebers Hashem does not see what's taking place in this earth. Let's see, Rashi Pasik Tes. Tes says, Mola Mute, the earth is filled with injustice. Din Mu'ukal, crookedness, a crooked law. Pasik Tes in the Radak, Vayomer Eli Vatimole Ha'aretz Domim. Eretz Yisrael v'Yehuda l'tich l'difachar v'haretz mehem. That's why it's been destroyed. V'aval pi shahayu v'hem shor averos. Even though we know there were many averos, ha'inish agadluhu be'avur ha'chamas. The ultimate sin is violence, is chamas. Ki lo yamod shum yishuv b'chamas. It's impossible to exist when there's chamas. Like we learned, the marble ki molaretz chamas mitnehem, or the mixas sephardim hamuduyakim ati molaretz damim, perush shayfchei damim. So here, what he says over here, a pella. What it says in the Radak, that there's another girsa. There's another girsa in the text of the psukim. Instead of molaretz damim, it says in the pasuk ki mol haaretz, the earth is filled with blood. Okay, that's not what we have in our. Yeah, anyone have the minchas shai?
Yeah.
What does he say the minchas shai there? Does he mention another girsa ki molaretz damim? Chamas. So he doesn't mention even another girsa.
And then he brings the Radak down.
Okay. The ir malamata, the earth is filled with injustice. The earth is filled with mute injustice. Yecheskel.
Where are you up to?
Perik tes, pasik tes. Okay. Vegam ho'ir hazoyis Yerushalayim shoyisa mileasi mishpat atahi milei mishpat mute. The land that was once a land of justice has now been filled with corruption. Vehu hechamas. It's descending as chamas elafi shoyisa Yerushalayim makam mishpat ve'alecha boim kol Yisrael mishpat zochar hatoyis adin shaba. It was the place where everyone came from mishpat, and now it's been filled with corruption. V'chol ze garm lohem. Emunasam hara, this has their lack of faith has caused them to become corrupt. Ki amru oza Hashem es aretz ve'ein Hashem roye lo yeonish al hara. Hashem will not punish us for the sins. Why? V'lo yigmol al ha'tov, will not give us reward for the good. Ukvar perashnu al inyan zeh l'mayla. This already has been explained before. Now there are two things I want to put. Number one is this idea of ein Hashem roye is picking up by the Medrash, and it just points out that that's why we all know that Kefel, the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan. A Ganav pays Kefel, and a Gazlan pays the principal. Why? Because a Ganav steals secretly. When a person steals secretly, he's giving more honor to man than he gives to Hashem. It's as if he says, only man sees what I'm doing, but Hashem does not, and that's why I have to steal secretly. So therefore, the Torah punishes him and he has to pay double. But when a person steals in public and is caught, armed robbery in public, he only has to pay the principal, does not have to pay double, because he did not insult Hashem by saying that man is better than Hashem. Just like Hashem sees, man also sees. So you've equated Hashem with man, you pay the principal. But again, when you steal secretly, you've insulted Hashem. Only man sees, but not you, and therefore I have to pay double. So that really fits right over here. That's one of the things Hashem's complaining about before he destroys Yerushalayim. Okay, the next idea is ma'od ma'od. What exactly does it mean ma'od ma'od? Someone once told me, went to an interview. No, someone was working. Could be it was me even. This thing, and they were asked to do a review. He sat down with someone. I think I once had this experience. I sat down with someone, and he said, "So tell me about your experience. Tell me, debrief." I was debriefed on some type of incident. So I said, it was very good. So he wrote down, good. And then I said, it was extremely satisfying. He wrote, satisfying. Some adjectives. Long. It was a very long event. Every word, every adjective, very, extremely, just totally dropped. He totally dropped. Those words are irrelevant. I want clarity. What was your experience when you say very good, extremely, tremendous? These are not important words. Give me the meat. Tell me exactly what it is. If this is true when it comes to Bas Avidam, people are very accurate. Alachas kam v'kama, it's not the derech of the Torah to say something to be redundant or to be verbose. If the Torah says me'od me'od, it doesn't just mean very much. Right? Isn't that the same? The Hebrew way, the way in our minds, when we think about saying something is very good or something is very extreme. So we say me'od. Very much. Tsar li ma'od. We say in Tachnun every day. Tsar li ma'od. I have a lot of pain. So do you say tsar? What would it mean if he would say, Hashem, I don't just have pain, I am in extreme pain. So what would you say? Tsar li ma'od ma'od. Right? A new nusach for tachanun. Tsar li ma'od ma'od. I'm in extreme pain. That's wrong. There's no difference in the Torah between extreme pain and pain. If you're in pain, you're in pain. So the So that's the question. So what then does it mean when the Torah repeats itself? What exactly does that mean? Is the Torah trying to emphasize very? Is that really what it means? Okay, I don't have all the details to prove this point, but the Torah is not in the business of saying the word very. When the Torah says something, this is what it is, and that includes the entire spectrum from light to heavy, all the way. Vayatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. So what does it mean then?
And continuing,
Batimale ha'aretz osam. Batimale ha'aretz osam. Okay. So what is the word ma'od ma'od? So I once saw in the Sefer a very important idea. The Torah is not in the business, again, of saying very, very, very. When the Torah repeats a word specifically with regard to ma'od ma'od, what it means is it's growing. You could have a degree of, what is your pain? You ever go to a doctor and you're not feeling well? They say, tell me, what is your degree of pain? On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain? Give me a number. So you say it's 5. You say it's 10. You say it's 1. I once told the doctor, it's off the charts. It's off the charts, 12.
Bottom or the top?
The top. Off the charts. What does it mean? So, but whatever it is, it's one number. That's ma'od. When you say ma'od, you mean, it's right now it's 5, and it's going towards 6, and getting worse, going towards 7. In 5 minutes from now, it's going to be 6. And in 10 minutes, it's going to be 7. And in 8 minutes, it's going to be whatever, it's going. Ma'od ma'od means it's growing. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Wherever you have the word, by the Eretz Yisrael, Toy v'haretz hi, that's where I heard this drasha. Ma'od ma'od. It's taka what it is in the Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is unbelievable. What's going on in Eretz Yisrael? Everyone who comes back to Eretz Yisrael, they tell you with the building, the construction, it's just getting better and better. It's getting more and more sophisticated. The growth is out of control. It's growing. That's the taitch of ma'od mode. You want to say, I went to Spain. It's beautiful. I went on a vacation. I went to the Caribbean islands. I went down south. I went to visit Mexico. How was it? It's beautiful. Stunning, spectacular. It's unbelievable. But when people come back from Eretz Yisrael, the first thing I always hear from them is the growth is out of control. Wherever you go, they're doing construction, and expansion wherever you look. It's not just beautiful, it's growing. That's a whole different league. Eretz Yisrael was described by Kolev, Toiva Haaretz, Me'od Me'od. The nature of Eretz Yisrael is growth. Here, when it says concerning the sins of Eretz Yisrael, this is the problem. If the sins are very great, they are terrible sins, we can deal with it. We can deal with it. We got a problem, this corruption, so let's work on it. But when the corruption is on the madrega of me'od me'od, it's growing and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and there's no way to hold back the trend, then there's no hope. Then the only solution is complete obliteration, to destroy the land and to start all over again. That is the significance of here, why it says that if the sins of Yehuda and Yisrael were godol me'od, there would be a solution. What's your level of pain? 10. Okay, I got painkillers for 10. We'll solve the problem. But when you're telling me that your level of pain is even 5, even if it's 5, but I'm telling you, I sense that every couple of minutes, every couple of days, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, it's not stable, that's a lot worse. That's indicative of a very, very big problem, which cannot be solved with your painkillers of 10, because there's growth in pain. Therefore, when Hashem says to Yechezkel, you know why I'm going to destroy this land? Hashem is precise. It's God, Yisrael Yehuda, Godol b'me'od, it doesn't mean very much. The sins are very, very great. The sins are growing and growing and growing. This is the essence of what the pasuk here means to say. And you'll see in Tanakh, every time it says the word me'od, me'od, that's what it means. Growth. Not just very, very, very much. Torah does not talk in those terms. Okay, another idea in Medrash is he compares the sins of Eretz Yisrael to the sins of Sodom. What does it say about Sodom? At the time of their Chorban, when Hashem told Avram Avinu, I have to destroy the stone, the Anshei Sodom Chatoim V'Ro'im LaHashem Ma'od. Chatoim V'Ro'im LaHashem Ma'od, very much. In Yerushalayim, the sins were Ma'od Ma'od. And the Medrash points out, Chaval, to Eretz to Yerushalayim, they're even worse than Sodom. Sodom at least had a limit. It was Ma'od. Yerushalayim was Ma'od Ma'od, and therefore Hashem had no choice but to proceed with the Chorban. Okay, next pasuk. What time is it? Okay, next pasuk. Another few minutes. Pasuk Tes. No, I'm sorry. Pasuk Yod. V'gam ani loy sachois eini, Hashem says, also I will not have compassion. V'loy echmol, two different expressions of compassion. Darkom gezuntai, darkom b'roisham nosati, I'm going to give them what they deserve. I'm going to return to them. Their evil ways is going to come upon themselves. Let's see Pasuk Yod in the Mitzudos David. V'gam ani k'mo shachim oimim sh'ein ani royeh, just like they say that I do not see. Kein lo tire eini lochois alehem einachanami. If you claim that I do not see your sins, I will punish you. Mida keneged mida, I will make believe that I do not see you when I punish you. Darkom, gemul, darkom, ashalem, al reisham, I'll give them what they deserve. Mida keneged mida. This week's the big week of mida keneged mida. This is one of the most powerful psukim in the Torah this week. Ata yodati, ki gadol Hashem yikol hu Elohim, ki vadovar asher zadu alehem. Mida keneged mida. Yisrael came to the conclusion that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam in the process of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu through logic is the ultimate way to be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need that. There should be emunah. But those that are choyker, those people who try to come to be makir the Ribbono Shel Olam through science or through logic or through philosophy, the ultimate proof is the concept of mida keneged mida. This is what Yisrael said. Yisrael was the biggest choyker. He was the father of all of those people who come to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu through logical proofs. We're not on a madrega for that, Bizman Hazeh. The only thing that we are focused on is emuna pshuta. Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there is such a concept of being choyker, and that's mida keneged mida. And here you find that concept so many times in Navi of mida keneged mida. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud. There is no Rashi, Radak, Pasuk Yud. So he's hearing a new point. The same way they did not show compassion to the poor people. Gamani lo yosocha seinai. I'll have no compassion. Mida kineged mida. Next pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Perek concludes. Vihine ohish levush abadim asher keses b'masnav meishiv davar lemar. It's a very frightening pasuk. Here the malach comes to Hashem. This the Gavriel, and he returns to Hashem, and he returns and he says, Osisi Kechol Asher Tzivi Sani, I have done all that you commanded me. Simple. What was the Malach supposed to do? What was he supposed to go write the letter Tov on the Tzadikim? There were no Tzadikim except for Yecheskel, different interpretations, but he's returning to Hashem and telling Hashem, I've done what you told me to do. Let's see Matsudas Pasuk Yud Aleph, Meshiv Davar. What?
It seems to be after they wiped them out.
Yeah, after they all wiped out. And he's coming back.
The Malach says, I did what you told me. Irrelevant what he did.
What do you mean? Because there was no one to save? Okay, let's see. Inachanami. There's a lot of interpretation on this pasuk. Let's just see the simple interpretation. Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Meshiv Davar, Hayameshiv, Teshuva, El Hashem, Hamashalcha. He returned to Hashem to tell Hashem, I did what you told me to do. There's a halacha. A shliach is mechuyev to go back to the Meshalcha and tell him, I've done your mission, your shlichas. That's what Mechiras Chametz, Me'ikra. So what we spoke last week, Me'ikra Adin, one of the reasons why you pay the Rav, you give the Rav a gift when for Mechiras Chametz is because if you don't give the Rav money, then you're making him your agent, your shliach. There's an obligation for the shliach to return back to the Mishalcha and say, I've done your mission. That would mean that the Rav has to call, according to halacha, it's the proper thing to do, every single person on his list, every single person that was used the Rav to sell the chametz to the guy, he has to call them up on Erev Pesach, nothing better to do, and tell them, I want to let you know, I've done the shlichus. I've sold your chametz to the guy. Your toothpaste and maybe some stocks you have in some make-believe company that may or may not have some chametz nuksha. Don't worry about it. It's sold. It's sold. Can you imagine the Rav calling every single person in the shul and telling him, I've done the shlichus? So why does he not do so? You give him money. If you give him money, then already that makes him into a worker, a payel. A worker does not have to come back to the Meshalcha and say, I've done the job. Then there's a chazaka. That's one of the reasons why there's a meaning to give the Rav a donation. Not a donation, to give him money, to make him to a payel. Asisi. Ko'aymer, this means to say, Hinei loy tzivisi lirshayim ki'im al mitzkoitz ha-tzadikim v'loy al zulasam. You've told me to put a tov on the tzadikim and no one else. V'nei kein asisi ki loy v'shamti al mitzkoitz zulasam u'min ha-tzadikim hinei loy motzasi. And he says to Hashem, I'm sorry, but I could not find even one good man. I have all the ink is left. Not even one good man was I able to write. What then to do with that ink? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he had leftover ink. He was supposed to write Vayikra with a big aleph, and he wrote it with a little aleph. Because he was humble, Hashem, the people should not say Hashem called me with chiba. It was only Vayikar, it was only an accident. So what did Moshe do with that leftover ink? He smeared it on his forehead, and his face radiated. So what did Gavriel do with the leftover ink? A lot of leftover ink. If the whole Klal Yisrael were tzaddikim, he would have to write a tov on every single person. He did not have any, have to write the letter tov on anyone, it says. Lots of what, if he smeared it on his body, he would radiate kizoyar harakia. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. There is none. Radak pasuk yin aleph. V'nei ha'ish ha'kel gomar teshuvasai olai. Hashem completed the response. V'nei ha'ish levush habadim meishav davar elav she'asa kimitzvasav. Lavor be'ir v'lisavos atav, to go past through the city and to mark the letter tav. Levush abadim b'shva k'mishpat hasmuchim k'asher tzivisani k'siv v'kri b'k'chol asher tzivisani. So it says over here that you have to add in one more word. K'chol asher tzivisani. Asisi k'chol asher tzivisani k'lema sh'lichos sh'davar mikol asher tzivo. Okay, now, this pasuk is a very frightening pasuk, because what's happening over here is not good. What's happening over here is, it's really bad news, however you look at it. This is just to leave over some survivors. Everyone's going to die, and here the Malach Avril is trying to find a few good men to survive, and there's no one. There are no survivors. And it's come back and saying to Hashem, there are no tzaddikim. Sorry. And even the tzaddikim, who he did write the letter to, anyway, were killed. These exact same words are used, and therefore, and this marks the end of Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's what Yechezkel says. You're going to wipe out everyone. I'm going to be the only one left. V'nei shahar ani levadi. When do we use these exact same words? Osisi kechol asher tzivisani.
By hashkifa.
By bikurim.
Yeah.
And what is bikurim? Bikurim represents the kenisa le'eretz Yisrael. Hashem. We review the history. Arami oyved avi. Hashem, you brought us to Eretz, you gave us this beautiful land, and here the land has produced, and we have fruit, and here we come, we bring you the first fruits. And then we ask Hashem for a bracha. The words "kechol asher tzivisani" is the conclusion of describing the history of coming and achieving in Eretz Yisrael, conquering the land, living in the land, and being productive in the land. And here, these exact same words are being used to describe the Malach Gavriel, the utter obliteration of every last man in Yerushalayim, which was the end of Eretz Yisrael, because there was no one else. But in Yerushalayim, v'nei shahar ani, I'm the only one left. Isn't that very frightening? The same words that are meant for the ultimate bracha to represent the kenisa l'aretz are now being used to represent the yitzia min aretz. Even worse than the yitzia, the churban aretz. It hurts. It hurts a lot more than just recording something terrible that has happened. because when you say these words, you remember the good old days, the glorious days, the days of beauty. We should be saying now to Hashem, and instead we look out, and what's out there? Nothing.
That's part of the dark of Rosh Hashanah.
It's all part of this Mida Keneged Mida. It's all part of the same words that we would have now been used to rejoice with music and Simcha, are now we're using against us to describe the ultimate Chorban. Okay, was there anything else I wanted to say here? Okay, the other thing, important thing to say is there's a halacha. This is an important Maamar Chazal. There's a halacha that we hear, from here we learn that a shliach should only come back and tell the mishalchai that he did his mission if it's a good mission. In other words, if someone sends you on a mission, the Bezdin sends the shluchai Bezdin to kill someone. Someone is chayev misa, dalad misa bezin, and the bezin says, "You team A, go out, take the nidoin to his death, take him to the base haskila, to the base hasreifa." Do the shluchei bezin come back? Do the shluchei bezin come back and report to the bezin, "We have done, we have fulfilled the mission"? No. When you send someone on a mission to do something bad, something evil, harmful, the halacha is you don't come back to the mishaleach to report, "I've done your mission." When you're sent to do something good, then the halacha is you are required to come back to the mishaleach and report, "I've done the mission. The mission has been mission accomplished." Where do we learn that from? This perek. Because in this perek, basically, there were two separate missions. There were a total of 7 people. There were 6 mashchitzim, and there was one man, the Ish Levush Badim, who was instructed to write the letter Tov to spare tzaddikim, survivors. Do we find anywhere in this parak that the 6 mashchisim reported back to Hashem, "Asisi kichol asher tzivisani"? No. But who do we find is reporting back and saying to Hashem, "Asisi kichol asher tzivisani"? It is Gavriel, the Ish Levush Badim, who was sent out on a good mission to write the letter Tov, Tichye. The primary role of the Ish Levush Badim was to do good. And he's the one that's coming back and saying to Hashem, "Asisi kichol asher tzivisani." But not the other 6 people who were the mashchisim. They're not coming back to report to be good. So here we learn this very important halacha that you're only supposed to come back and do good. Now there's a medrash that says just the opposite. There's a medrash that says that at this moment, it's really a gemara mesech the yoma, that at this moment in time, Gavriel was taken to Shemayim and was whipped. They whipped him with 60 malchus in Shemayim, 60 malchus of fire. Why? They said to him, "What are you coming back and telling Hashem you did the mission? Don't you know the halacha that you don't come back and report that you've done a bad thing?" So according to this medrash, what Gavriel here is reporting is bad news. "You've told me to go and find tzaddikim and to write upon them the letter to him. Coming back and telling you, Baruch Shalom Olam, there's no tzaddikim. There's not even one good man in Klal Yisrael. I have all the ink left. That's bad news. So when you're coming back to report bad news, you're not supposed to return back. Why then are you coming back to report this bad news? Take him out to be whipped." And indeed, it says the Gemara, he was taken to be whipped for reporting. But both of these midrashim work with the same principle, and that is, when you're sent on a mission, if it's a mission to do something good, you are mechuyev to come back and say, "I've done your mission." When you're sent on a mission to do bad, you do not report that you have accomplished the mission. We also learned that in this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Go down to the people and tell the people, Hagbel Esar V'ki Dashtoi." Moshe says, he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I told him, there are different, you have to look in Rashi, go to the sequence of him, but Moshe Rabbeinu, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what the people are saying, Moshe still returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him that, "I've done your mission. Mission accomplished." Okay, so we're up to the new parak. Parak, we'll stop over here.